quickly every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, we come to you at this hour of the morning. We come as humble as we know how, Father. We come, Father, with thanksgiving dripping from our lips. For we come realizing that if it had not been for you, Father, we would still be laying in our sleep. Father, but early this morning, you sent an angel from heaven and stood by our bedside and touched us with a finger of love. Father, our eyes flew open and we beheld a brand new day, a day when the blood is still running warm through our veins, Father. We come to praise our holy name, Father, because you have allowed our golden years to run on just a little while longer, Father. We come to praise you, Father, because you're not finished with us yet, Father. Somebody ought to want to praise you, Father, because you've been good to them, Father. Somebody ought to want to praise you, Father, because if they just stop for a little while and look back over their lives and see where you brought them from. Father, somebody to say, you brought me from a mighty long ways. Somebody able to say through many dangers, pause and say, I have already come. Somebody, when they look back over their life, Lord, they'll realize that if it had not been for you, Lord, that they don't know where they would be this morning, Father, but you've been good to us, Father, in spite of ourselves, because as we sat here this morning, we know in our heart that we don't deserve your goodness. We know that we could not buy it, Father, but thank God that you look beyond every one of our faults. Father God, you look beyond our failures. You look beyond our bad judgment and our mistakes, Father. And you recognize that we needed a Savior, Father. And I come this morning to praise you, Father, if I have to do it all by myself, Father, because I know that I'm in your presence. I'm not in a graveyard, Father, and I got a reason to praise you, Father. Oh, Father, we come today, Father, because we need you, Father. We come today because we realize that we can do nothing without you, Father. And today, Father, we act, oh, Father, as we pause to remember what you've done for us. How you took our place. How you suffered for us. How you died for us. Oh, Father, the least we ought to be able to do is praise your name. Oh, Father, I'm not ashamed to praise you. I'm not ashamed to magnify you. I'm not ashamed to lift my voice. I tell somebody, look at me. I'm a testimony. I'm not standing on my own. Oh, Father, but you saved me for this moment and you saved me for this hour. And I come to lift you up and to magnify you. Now, Lord, I ask that you will hide me behind thy cross. Oh, Father, let me down into the deep riches of your word, oh, Father. Oh, Father, give me a rhema word that I might speak to your people, Father. Let somebody know that you're still God and you're still an able God, that you're a God that can do everything but fail. And all we got to do is trust you, Father, believe in you, Father, and do what your word say do. And I got a feeling this morning that everything will be all right. It's in the precious name of Jesus the Christ that we pray, and the whole church shall say, amen, amen, amen. If you're not dead out there, go and give God a hand clap of praise. If you're not dead, go and shout glory. I don't want to talk to a dead church. I want to talk to a church that's alive, because Jesus lives. How many know he lives? My God, he's not in the grave. But he's alive. Not only is he alive, but he's still an able God, a God who can do everything
but fail.
I came to have a good time this morning, church. I got a lot to thank God for. I don't know about you. Let me just pause for a minute before we take our text and tell you, if you look to your right and you look up on the roof, it's a brand new roof. I got a reason to thank God for that, huh? We on our way. Got a little more work to do around the edges, but the roof is on. And we ought to thank God. Nobody asked me how we paid for it, but we got it on. Amen. We got it on. So we thank God for it, because God is still a generous and a gracious God. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to move to the next phase because God said that all things are impossible to those who believe. Do I have any believers in the house today? I have any believers in the house today. Amen. We, my sister and brother, we started a moment late today, so we are not going to keep you long, but there is a word from the Lord, and we do want to allow the Lord to use us how he chooses to use us. So we thank our God Almighty for this blessed privilege and this most glorious opportunity to come once again on this third Sunday, where we pause to celebrate with the saints of God in another Lord's Supper service. We pause at during this time to commemorate our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, the death, burial, and his most glorious resurrection. Church, the Bible tells us that as often as we do this, as often as we celebrate and participate in this ceremony, we do show forth the Lord's death till he come. If I can say that in plain words, it just simply means that this reenactment keep us in remembrance of what our God did through his son Jesus Christ to secure our salvation. Somebody ought to shout right there, because he did it to secure our salvation. Amen. It should have been us who hung on the cross, but he allowed his son to take our place. Now, I tell you what a preacher like. A preacher like somebody to say amen. A preacher would go and preach, man, if you go and witness. Somebody, if you can't witness, it means that you don't know the word. If you can't witness, it means that maybe you have not truly experienced the presence of the Savior. But if you hear and you know that you know him, you ought to come on and help me preach this thing this morning. My God, it reminds us that we fail, and it reminds us that we can't shoulder the glory of God. But if I can pause long enough and tell somebody, when I think about his goodness and how he laid his life down, that you and I might still have life, I want to recommit my life to him and to him only. Did anybody come to recommit their life? See, you just don't do it on the third Sunday. Every day ought to be a brand new day. Every day somebody ought to say, I thank you, Lord. Every day somebody ought to throw up their hands and say, I thank you for giving me another opportunity and another chance. Let us look quickly today. If you got your Bibles, I've got a passage of scripture that have been deposited in my spirit. It's found in the seventh chapter of the gospel recorded by St. Luke. St. Luke, the seventh chapter. I want to look quickly at verses 11 through 17. Luke, the seventh chapter, verses 11 through 17. Then it reads thusly, my sisters and brothers. It came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Somebody said dead man. Somebody said dead man. Dead men can't make no noise. Do I hear any noise in the house today? Dead men don't make no noise. There was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of that city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bar, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear over all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Amen. Now, church, just for a little while, I want to speak to your hearts from this thought. Our hope is still alive. Yeah. Our hope is still alive. Church, on last week, we talked about a woman by the name of Jochebed. Y'all know Jochebed was the mother of Moses. But on today, I want to introduce you, and I want you to meet another woman who holds a place in biblical history. This woman is a woman that is not identified by name. Nobody knows her name. All we know and all the Bible tells us is that she was a willow woman and that she was from the village of Nain. The Bible records that her only son had died and that death has taken away her source of hope, her source of strength and protection, and that the only thing she could now do was weep bitterly and bury her son. But somewhere, my sisters and brothers, in between her weeping and carrying her son to his final resting place, she finds renewed hope. Now, there may be somebody here today that's feeling lonely and worried, somebody who's stressed out and feeling helpless, just like this lady in our text. Now, your situation may not be because you lost a son. Your situation could be because of your living condition. It could be because you have a sickness that can't be cured. It could be because of a family affair, or just possibly the recent loss of a loved one. But I come to tell you that whatever it is, it will have left you feeling all alone and full of despair. You are feeling hopeless. But I came this morning with a word from heaven to encourage somebody and tell you that if you just hold on for a little while longer, and if you just keep on trusting God, you'll find out, like it occurred in the text, that there is a miracle that's heading your way. Anybody know that Jesus is a miracle worker? And I don't care what you're going through, he's heading your way. You just got to prepare yourself and wait on him. Church, in our text this morning, we see two different kind of crowds. Notice what the Bible says. Crowd one is a crowd that's following Jesus. His disciples is with him. And there's no doubt if you think about Jesus and think about what he has done while he's in the earth realm, you could easily believe that this crowd that's following Jesus, some of them have already been healed. You can believe that some of them have already been delivered. Some of them have already been cleaned from demonic spirits. This crowd following Jesus, they followed him from village to village. The Bible said in hope that they would see him perform another miracle. Somebody know that this crowd had already saw Jesus give sight to the blind. This crowd had already saw him heal the sick and clothe the naked. They already had seen Jesus feed the hungry. And there was a great deal of excitement because Jesus was doing all that they wanted him to do. They were full of joy and amazement, this crowd. But this crowd was headed, the Bible says, into the village of Nain. But at the same time they were heading into the village, the text says that there was a second crowd, and that crowd, church, was headed out of the village. Can you see them? One crowd coming in, one crowd coming out, and while they were moving, they met at the gate of Nain. And somebody know that we can easily pause here long enough, and if we listen carefully, we can hear the lyrics from Frankie Beverly and Maze come true. Because when they got to the gate, there was joy and pain. When they got to the gate, they found that there was sunshine and there was rain. Because in the second crowd, they were depressed. They were down. They were weeping. And many of them was filled with a spirit of sadness. In this crowd was probably family members. It probably was a woman's friend, her church members and her neighbors. They were following the funeral procession of a young man who was being carried to his final resting place. So nobody seemed to be happy. They were all sad. And the Bible says that the two crowds met at the city gate. And somebody know, when you go back in biblical history, at the city gate is where all the business was taking place. And I can imagine, church, those who were in pain, those who were feeling sorrow, those who were walking with their head hanging down, was heading in the direction of Jesus. And I can also see that those full of joy who were following Jesus was headed in the direction of those who were in pain. I'm trying to tell somebody that if you go in Jesus' direction, he'll come in your direction. And when you cross paths with Jesus, you'll find out that he'll make every... Oh, somebody ought to shout here. When you cross paths with him, he'll make everything all right. You don't believe me? Watch what the text says. It says, when Jesus noticed, don't think he don't see you. Don't think he don't know your problems. Don't think he don't know what's going on in your life. Bible says, when Jesus noticed that the willow son was being carried out of the city, it was this willow's only son, and she had already lost her husband. Oh, my God. And now she was bearing her only son. This woman was now left, church, without any form of support, because as the custom had it in that day, it was the male child's responsibility to take care of the family. But this woman had lost her support system, and now she was being taking her only son out to his final resting place, and she found herself in a helpless position. She was in a hopeless state, and I can imagine she began talking to herself. She wasn't crazy. I know modern day people call you crazy when you talk to yourself, but every now and then I talk to myself. I said, Jesus, if I had a did what you told me to do, I wouldn't be in this situation now. Lord, if I had a did this, I just talk to myself. It's okay to walk sometime and talk to yourself. This woman began to talk to herself, and she said, I don't know now what I'm going to do. I already lost my husband, and now I'm about to bury my son. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know because I have no one to turn to and no one to depend on. And I wonder this morning, do I have any witness here? If anybody here today ever been in that situation where you don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning, I wonder if you ever been in a situation where you didn't even feel like eating. You don't have no appetite. You pressed down so bad, your situation is turned upside down, and you don't know what you're going to do. You just lost your job. You wondering how you're going to pay your rent. You don't know how you're going to pay your car note, and you just do what this woman do. You know it gets so bad sometimes. Do I have a witness in here? My God, that you just don't feel like getting out of bed because you don't see no way out of your dilemma. And instead of your situation getting better, somebody said, seem like, oh, come on, you're going to help me out in a minute. Instead of getting better, it seemed like it's getting worse. And church, this mother did like most of us do. Come on, you know what to do when you find yourself in this situation. She did like most of us do. When you tried all you can try, and when you get to the point where you feel like you're at your limit, and you feel like all hope is gone, you find yourself some quiet place where you can cry out to the Lord. And church, the Bible says that the tears were rolling down so heavy down her face that she couldn't see nothing between her tears and her pain. And it's even possible that she didn't even see this great big crowd that was coming into the city of Nain. She didn't even see Jesus himself. But I got some good news. Even though she didn't see Jesus, the Bible let us know that Jesus saw her. Ain't God all right? I don't know how you feel about it when you think you're all by yourself and you don't see Jesus. You call out on his name and you didn't hear his voice. You might not see him, but he saw you, my God. And Jesus saw her. And church, the Bible says that Jesus saw the dead son and being carried to the cemetery. And then he saw the mother weeping and crying. And as soon as he learned that the deceased boy was the will of the only son, that Jesus showed compassion. Anybody know what compassion is? That Jesus got healing. That Jesus loved his creation. Jesus showed compassion for the weeping willow. Jesus, he just didn't stop the funeral procession. But if you read the text, it said he laid his hand on the brow. The brow just means the stand where the coffin was sitting on. Jesus laid his hand there. And we made, he made himself but what Jesus wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about what was going to happen to him, but he was thinking about the pain of the willow woman. And you need to know this morning, church, that he also cares for you. You need to know that he sees you. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He sees your sorrow. And Jesus would do the same thing for you that he done for this willow woman. Church, he felt compassion for her, and he told the woman to weep not, dry up your tears. And can I pause here long enough to tell somebody that our Savior and our Redeemer is a compassionate Savior who cares about your sorrow. He's a compassionate Savior who cares about your pain, and he's a compassionate Savior who cares about your hurt and your hardship. He's a compassionate Savior. So when your days are dark as your night, know that Jesus is a compassionate Savior who cares about you. You might not believe me, so I'm going to look a little deeper at this compassionate Savior. I'm going to look a little deeper at this compassionate Redeemer, because surely there's somebody sitting here this morning that remember that night out on that stormy sea when Peter stepped out of the boat and allowed himself to be distracted by the wind and the rain. Do I have any witness? The Bible says Peter began to go down in that raging sea. And the Bible says he cried out to Jesus. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and comforted and saved Peter. And here in our text, we see the same compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand. My God, he stretched out his hand, church, and he stopped the funeral procession. He stopped it because of his compassion for the willow woman. And then he goes over to her and he tells her to weep not, to stop your crying. Jesus saw this woman pain, and he did for her what her family couldn't do for her. Don't you know that you can call all you want to call. Call your sister. Call your brother. Call your cousin. Call your neighbor. But they can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. They were with this woman. But see, they couldn't stop her pain. Her church members were with her. But all they said, we'll pray for you. Her neighbors were with her. But they couldn't stop her pain. They couldn't do nothing. But the Bible says that Jesus spoke to her and comforted her. And this Jesus will do the same thing thing to you. Church, he sees you and knows your pain. He knows that somebody here this morning is suffering from a sickness called cancer. He knows that somebody is going through a financial situation. He knows that somebody walked the floor all night because your children did not come home. Jesus knows. And just like he saw this widow woman, he stopped her dead in her pain. He stopped her in her pain. Jesus see you, and he want to heal your hurt. Jesus see you, and he want to turn around your situation. See, you've been in your situation so long, you don't got comfortable in your situation. You think because you from the wrong side of the track that you ain't got no business on the right side of the track. But you ought to tell the devil you a liar, because I'm a royal. I'm peculiar. I don't just belong anywhere. My daddy is a king. And because my daddy is a king, I'm entitled. I got an inheritance. I'm supposed to live in a better situation and have a better conditions surrounding me. Anybody hear me this morning? Anybody hear me this morning? You don't have to stay broke because you broke right now. You don't want nobody to know you broke, so don't look around. Look straight at me. But I can tell already, you got a lot of broke people out there. I saw the bastards. The bastards didn't look too full. So I know some broke people out there. Yeah, but Jesus can turn your situation around. Do anybody know that? Do anybody believe that? He can turn it around. Now, that's what he did for this young lady. He turned her situation around, and he would do the same thing for you. The Bible says that not only did Jesus show compassion, read that text, but when he stretched out his hand, Jesus touched the coffin. And when Jesus touched the coffin, somebody knows that he spoke to the dead boy. And he spoke to a dead situation. The Bible said he told the young boy, he said, arise. And say, Jesus, who is the resurrection Christ, resurrect the life of a young boy. And I want you to remember that I told you that Jesus does everything for a purpose, and with a purpose in mind. See, this young boy's father had died and left him to take care of his mother. So Jesus passed by on this day. He passed by the call this young boy back to his purpose. Sometime life will take us away from our purpose. Am I right about it? The Lord called you to be a witness, but you decided that you like the barroom better than witness. The Lord called you to preach the gospel, but you thought that being a pimp was a better job. And every now and then, God has to stop by to call you back to your purpose. That's what he did in our text today. The young boy's purpose was to take care of his mother. But Jesus stopped by. Am I right about it? To take the young boy back to his purpose. Because you might not know it, but just like in the text, this boy's life was connected to his mother's life. Your life is connected to somebody else's life. That's why you got to be careful how you live. That's why the Bible said you ought to walk circumspectly in the world. My God, that you might win souls for the kingdom. This boy's life was connected to his mother's life. And Jesus stopped that funeral procession. And he changed the dynamics of both the young boys and the mother's life. And this same Jesus will stop by to change change your situation. But I need to remind you here, as I move quickly toward my close, Jesus will stop by and he'll change the situation. But you need to be mindful, church, who you surround yourself with. Can I'm talking to anybody, because there are some people in your life who don't want to see your situation change. There's some people in your life that want to see you suffering. There's some people in your life that want to see you living in poverty, going through pain, laying on your bed of affliction. And you need to understand that there's some people in your life that the only reason they're in your life because they want to carry you to the graveyard. My God, they don't want you to rise, and they don't want you to be blessed, and they don't want you to live holy, but they want to take you to the graveyard. But Jesus stopped the funeral procession, and the Bible says that those who were carrying the coffin, they stood still. Every now and then, Jesus had to make the pallbearer stand still. I know you thought that you were going to the graveyard, but stand still, and you will see the salvation. Do anybody want to see the salvation of the Lord? You need to stand still this morning and praise his name. The Bible, the text says, he made the pallbearers stand still. And after they stopped the funeral procession, he told the young boy to arise. And I came to tell somebody, because hope is still alive, you can rise again. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how low you have failed. Hope is still alive, and you can arise again. Hope, this hope, can stop by and heal the sick and raise the dead. This same hope that stopped by and fed 5,000 with just two fish and five loaves of bread. It's the same hope that healed the leopard and gave sight to the blind. This same hope, he spoke to the wind and calmed the raging sea. Church, and I stopped by this morning to tell those who are here that hope is still alive. And it is this hope that was beat all night, one tried tonight for our sins, for our iniquity. It is this same hope that was praised in a scarlet robe, had a cross beam praised on his shoulder, that he carried that cross all the way to Golgotha Hill. Church, it is this same hope that they drove nails in his hand and nails in his feet. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. Our hope is hanging there in the Palestinian sun. And the Bible says he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And somebody ought to help me, because the Bible says he died. Anybody know he died? He died. They say he died. And they took our hope down. Yes, they did. And they buried our hope in a buried tomb. They made a mistake there, because anything buried, it ought to be given back. I know some of y'all borrow some stuff, and you can't never get it back. But Jesus borrowed, and he had to give it back. That's why the Bible says he stayed in it just for the weekend. Somebody know he stayed there all night Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. He stayed there all night Saturday night. But somebody know on the Thursday morning. Somebody said it was early on Sunday morning. It was before the sun raised up over the mountain edge. It was before the dew dried up on the roses. It was before the rooster began to crow in the rooster pen that he got up. Oh, somebody know he got up. Can I tell you he got up? He got up. He got up. Our hope got up out of the grave. And I came this morning to tell somebody, go ahead and shout. Go ahead and praise his name. Because our hope is still alive. Our hope is not dead. Our hope is still alive. Our hope, church, got up out of the grave. And he got up with not just some power in his hand. But the Bible declared that God gave him all power in the heaven and all the power in the earth realm. And somebody know this morning that if you are feeling hopeless, that Jesus is the giver of all hope. And what you ought to know is that he's not dead, but he's alive, church. Move in his direction. And I guarantee you, he'll move in your direction. Somebody ought to want to meet him and cross paths with him because if you go in his direction and if he's coming in your direction, you'll meet him somewhere a long life way. And when you meet Jesus, he sees you, know what you need. And the Bible says he'll have compassion on you. You might be hurting in silence now. You might not want nobody to know that you're going through what you're going through. You might not want nobody to know that you made some bad judgments and you made some mistakes, but I come to tell you that it ain't nobody's business but yours and Jesus. I don't care what you know about me, because you ain't got no heaven or hell you can put me in, so I'm not trying to cross your path. I don't care if I don't never meet you. I just want to meet Jesus because I want to know him for myself. I know that if I meet him, he'll speak to me. And he'll assure me that everything is going to be all right. I know you made some mistakes. I know you failed. I know you made some blunders. But it's going to be all right. Get on up over your knees. It's going to be all right. Get on up and tell somebody, in the name of Jesus, I got the victory. Go ahead and claim it. Claim it, claim it, claim it. Tell somebody, I got the victory. Go ahead and claim it, claim it, claim it. I got the victory in the name of Jesus. He's not dead, church, but he's alive. Oh, if you trust him, oh, he'll stop by and tell you to arise. Arise out of your mess. To arise out of your mistakes. Get up out of your pain and your sorrow. The problem with the church today is that the church has got too quiet. Don't want to make no noise no more. Don't want to be no testimony. God said, you want to tell people, look at me, I'm a testimony. But you don't want to testify about what God did for you. You don't want to testify about where he brought you from. You need to understand that you didn't go through the just because you were so wrong, because God is a sovereign God, and God is in control. And if you went through the valley, it's because God allowed you to go through the valley. But he did not allow you to go through there by accident. I told you, he does everything on purpose and with a purpose. You went through the valley so you can come out on the other side shouting. You can come out on the other side telling somebody, look at me, I'm a testimony. You know when Peter and John went up to the temple that day and they had the man sitting there begging for nickels and dimes. Peter told them that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Anybody got any such as I have? He said, such as I have. In the name of Jesus. Anybody know his power in Jesus' name? They said, search as I have in the name of Jesus. Get up. And that man got up. And the Bible says strength came back to the man. And then you know what man will do you. That's why you got to trust God, because man will mess you up. And what man will do you, he'll cast you down. They got Peter and John and they said, look boys, let me tell you, y'all been around here preaching that gospel, talking about Jesus, and look y'all, we just got the blind man. My God, y'all messed up our health care benefit system. We had him there. He was crippled. We didn't give him no Medicare, no Medicaid. Now, how did y'all heal him? In what name did y'all use? And I like Peter and John because they ain't like us. They weren't scared to say, in the name of Jesus. And somebody needs to know there's power in Jesus' name. Power to be delivered in the name of Jesus. Power to be healed in the name of Jesus. Power to get your situation in the name of Jesus. Power that will make a dead man set up and begin to talk again. Somebody ought to say, Jesus. God bless you. Every head bow, every eye closed. Father God, we thank you. We praise you, Father. We praise you for your word, oh Father. For we know there's power in your word, Father. Father, we make a mistake, Father, because we got too comfortable with the world. Oh, we believe the world has all the answers to our problems. But the world is here to spoil us. The world is here to lead us off track. The world is here to let us forget what our true purpose is. God created us to have fellowship with him. God created us to praise him, magnify his holy name. But on this journey that have beat us down, on this journey that have made us lose our focus, lose our purpose, and now we forget to call out on the name of Jesus. We forget to walk with him. We forget to talk with him. But today, Father, we've seen your compassion. Today, Father, you've seen your power. Today, Father, we know that you are no respecter person. And Father God, somebody's setting him. Today is hurt. Somebody's setting him, Father.
That's
got a smile on their face.
The incredible.
But all the time, they got pain that they can't erase. And Father, today we ask that you deliver your people. You set them free, Father. Oh, Father, let them know that they can depend on you. Father, you place your name in their mouth. And from this day forward, wherever they go, whenever they are blessed, whenever they are going through trouble, whether they're on the mountaintop or in the valley, let them call out on the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you for your people of God. We believe and we decree in the name of Jesus that the power invested in me. And I know by the Spirit of God that's speaking in my spirit that those who would believe today will see a miracle coming your way. Jesus is a miracle worker, and he's coming your way. God bless you, and God keep you. You know, we're going to have this young lady come quickly and sing. Let me do this first. Let me do this first. Communion. Let's do communion first, and then I'm going to have our friend and young lady to close us out. Sister Glenda to close us out with a song. But we want to do communion. We're going to do communion. Amen. So prepare your hearts to do communion. Amen. Prepare your hearts to commit.
He can play a favorite. Yeah. Come on, there's power.